Good morning. Today's Daf and Yavamos is Chaf Zayin. We're in Chaf Avam and Beis, and we're starting today three lines from the bottom. The Amud Shmuel Amar. Let's start off with just a little bit of an introduction. Today's Daf is going to be difficult. It's going to be complicated. We're not going to finish the Daf today, even though we're starting at a great place, but I pretty much know where we're going to get to. Just in case anyone's curious, Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, we're going to get to about 8-9 lines from the top of the Amud. And from there, we'll start from Amar Rav Huna tomorrow. Anyway, good. So I know what we're going to get to. What is the challenge of today's daf is that we're going to learn today. We started yesterday, but we're going to learn today, and we're going to delve in today into the topic of what's called the Chalitza Psula. Chalitza Psula literally translates as a disqualified Chalitza. So already right off the bat, let's just clarify. It does not mean a disqualified Chalitza. It means a insufficient Chalitza, a less than perfect Chalitza, a Chalitza Gerua. Okay, why the Gemara uses the language of Chalitza Psula, I don't know. But anyway, it means that it's an insufficient Chalitza. It's a deficient Chalitza. And as a result of that, the Chachamim said that maybe more needs to be done. Okay, so that's the easy way to understand it. But of course, the difficulty is going to be in the details as we're going to go through exactly when do we have a circumstance of Chalitza Psula and what are going to be the solutions to a Chalitza Psula. Okay, mind you. Okay, and this is really important, and this is what's going to make everything about today going to be challenging, and that is that we're going to be learning really Dinei Derabbanan, meaning in the first parak of the Masechta. So what we addressed are basically how Yibum operates on a Da'oraisa level, and what happens when an Erva confronts Yibum, and what do we do under those circumstances. And admittedly, the first parak was challenging, but in other words, everything's operating on a Da'oraisa level. Now, as we are into the Masechta, and we're here in the third parak of the Masechta, so now we are looking at issues of Zika. How does Zika play a role? How is Zika looked at vis-a-vis marriage? We're going to be looking at Achos Chalutzaso, another Din de Rabbanan where you can't marry a woman because she's the sister of someone that you did Chalitza with. And so therefore, when you're doing Chalitza to these women, Achos Zukukaso, Achos Chalutzaso, so now the interplay of a Din de Rabbanan, now that the Chalitza is done to a woman that you're not allowed to marry and you're not allowed to do Yibam with, so under those circumstances, how is the Chalitza going to be viewed? The Chalitza will be viewed as an insufficient Chalitza, a deficient Chalitza. If you will, in other words, it's not the best imagery, but certainly makes me laugh, and it is kind of helpful. In other words, basically, what we have are the judges standing by, and the Chalitza is being done. The judges hold up the signs, basically saying, you know, how do they rank that Chalitza? So sometimes they'll give it a 10, sometimes they'll give it a 9, sometimes they give it a 5. Okay, now my numbers that I just used over here are perfectly arbitrary. And it's just basically that under certain circumstances, what the Chachamim did is they downgraded the Chalitza so that the Chalitza is not a perfect Chalitza, it's an imperfect Chalitza. And therefore, and we'll discuss what the therefore is, meaning, and what do you have to do now that the Chalitza has been downgraded? It's a downgraded Chalitza. Okay, now, if you remember yesterday's daf, so we started this topic as we quoted the following case. There were 5 brothers, 3 of them were married to, 3 of them were married to 3 sisters. And of those 5 brothers, the 3 brothers who were married to the 3 sisters died, leaving these 3 sisters now as both sisters and now sister-in-laws for the mitzvah of Yibum. And now they present themselves to 2 brothers. What do the 2 brothers have to do? Well, here's what they can't do. And that is that they can't marry. Why can't they marry? Any one of the Yavamas, you have 3 Yavamas, because each one of them represents Achos Zukukaso. And that's a Din Derabbanan. And you're not allowed to marry the sister of your Zukuka. Again, we're subscribing to the idea of Yezika, as we pointed out in yesterday's daf. So each one of them cannot do Zika. Okay, so what happens? Now, in the case of 4 brothers and 2 sisters, we already discussed back in the Mishnah, that was the opening Mishnah of the third parak. But over here now, there are 3 sisters now presenting themselves to the 2 brothers. So what do you do? So Echad Cholitz Lezev, Echad Cholitz Lezev. This is, I'm going back to what we learned yesterday. One does Chalitza to one, the other one does Chalitza to the other. But now, as the 3rd sister now presents herself, Rachmanis, her husband died, and she now is the 3rd sister. Now remember now, this 3rd sister, just look at this 3rd sister vis-a-vis her 2 brother-in-laws. So what is she to the 2 brother-in-laws? To each one of them, Achos Chalutzaso. She is Achos Chalutzaso. Therefore, what did we learn in yesterday's daf, according to Rav? So now, when one does Chalitza to her, so that is a deficient Chalitza. That's a Chalitza Psula. Therefore, what has to happen? Each one of them has to do Chalitza to her. Then, when each one of them does Chalitza to her, then now, that will release her. But if only one of them does chalitza to her, that won't release her because it's a chalitza psula. It's a deficient chalitza. Again, this idea of chalitza psula, just so we can understand a little bit better, because it's really going to be the entirety of today's daf, the idea behind chalitza psula is that why isn't it given a 10? Why aren't the judges giving it a 10? And the answer is because, look, in other words, what is a chalitza substitute for? A chalitza substitute for yibum. Meaning, in the event that you don't want to do yibum, you do chalitza. In this case over here, can either of those brothers do yibum to this third widow? The answer, of course, is no. You can't. Now, granted, you can't do it because she is to each one of the brothers achus chalutzaso. And achus chalutzaso is a din derabanan. Regardless, the point is that neither of the brothers can do yibum. So now, as you transition from yibum now to chalitza, since they couldn't do yibum, but they have to do chalitza, but still, the chalitza now is missing. It's deficient. In the fact that it's not really, in this case, a substitute for yibum. Hence the term, chalitza psula. And now, in order for it to be released, a chalitza is going to be required from both of the brothers. And that is all what we learned yesterday. We continue the discussion.
And that's a klal, that anytime it's a chalitza psula, anybody with a zika has to do chalitza.
Oh, that's so funny you ask, by the way. That's going to be the entirety of today's daf. Good. Okay. So that is what we learned yesterday, and that was the opinion of Rav. And we continue. Shmuel Amar. So we're three lines from the bottom. An chavava medbeis. And Shmuel Amar Echad Cholos Kulan. So Shmuel's of the position that, in this circumstance that we just outlined over here, one could do chalitza to everybody and that would be sufficient. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Slow everything down. Shmuel says what? That one brother could do chalitza to all three? So michli shamin lele Shmuel damer chalitza malya bi'inan. So first of all, the Gemara says, I'm so confused because I know Shmuel, and I know Shmuel Shita regarding chalitza. Chalitza ma'aliyah, you need a bona fide chalitza. In other words, these quasi chalitzas, these deficient chalitzas, they're no good. How do I know that? I'm a Shmuel. Because I'm going to tell you what Shmuel taught us. Chalas la'achayas la'niftir utzaros. So let's say you do chalitza to the sisters, that's not going to help the co-wives. What was Shmuel's statement made regarding? Look at the top Rashi over here. I'm reading the top Rashi. Chav Zayin Amar Aleph. Shtei Echal Shanaf Lefan of Mishtei Achim V'chol Achat Sarasa Ima. So this is really going to be our Mishnah's case, but with a wrinkle. And when I say a wrinkle, I mean more women. So what happened over here? So again, you had four brothers. You had two sisters. Two of the brothers were married. Two of the sisters. The two brothers died, leaving now the two sisters for Yibam. But wait, there's more. I had my coffee this morning. That's why I'm so up. So but wait, there's more. Not only are these two sisters now eligible for Yibam, but also they come together with co-wives in tow. Okay, so you have Achayos and you have Tsaros as well. So you now have two sisters, each one. Let's just give each one just one co-wife to make it as simple as possible, because as it is already, it's complicated. So you have these two sisters who are now sister-in-laws, who have each one of them a co-wife also as well. Shmuel made the following statement. Now, here's what we know already. Can you do Yibum? No, you can't do Yibum. Meaning, of the two surviving brothers, neither of them can do Yibum because each one of these women represent Achos Zekukaso. And by the way, what about the co-wives? So you know what the co-wives are? Well, I'll say it. Tsaros Achos Zekukaso. So each one of these women now have a problem regarding their ability to receive chalitza. So therefore, I'm going back to the Rashi. I'm reading the Rashi. And chalitza was done to the sisters. This is a statement made by Shmuel. So now the co-wives are not going to be helped with the chalitza that's given. And why? And let's listen carefully. Rashi writes, second line down. So since these sisters are not eligible for Yibum, the chalitza done to them are going to be deficient chalitzas. Chalitzas psula. Okay. Now, what can you do? So here's what you can do. You can now issue a chalitza to the co-wife, and that will be helpful even for the sisters. Rashi writes, now, it's true, says Rashi, that you can't do Yibam to the co-wives as well. Because what are the co-wives? Again, I'm just going to say it out loud. By the way, just keep hitting repeat on this. on this audio again and again. The co-wives are Tsaros Acha Zukukaso, right? They're the co-wives of the sister of your Zukuka. Okay, and that also is going to be Asar, meaning you cannot do Yibam to her as well. Now, that's true, says Rashi. However, their Chalitza is going to be rated a little bit better. It's going to be judged better. So, Miyabimiyu Kal Isura Mishalachayos. Since their Isser is lighter, so then Hilka Chav Chalitza Mishubachos. So, therefore, their Chalitza is going to be a better Chalitza Mishalachayos Vahachim Mefarish Lakaman. In fact, that's what we're going to say later on in the Gemara. Now, again, by the way, I hope I'm explaining this well, and I hope I'm presenting this well, but what you see over here is the complexity of today's daf is going to be predicated on the fact that basically you have the judges who are rating the chalitzas. In other words, if it's even though it's an insufficient chalitzas, not all insufficient chalitzas are equal. Not all chalitza psulas are operating on the same level. Some are better than others. And so over here in the situation where you have not only the sisters, but the co-wives of the sisters being presented to the two surviving brothers, once again, you can't do Yibam to any of them. However, Chalitza to some are better than others. Chalitza to the co-wives are going to be better to the sisters. The sisters themselves are Achazukukaso. That's a serious Isser Derabbanan. The Tsaras Achazukukaso is a lighter Isser Derabbanan. Under normal circumstances, by the way, I don't know where else I would use such terminology. But in this context, however, that's exactly what we're saying. Rashi says it's exactly what's happening over here. What comes out from this entire discussion, obviously, is that Shmuel subscribes to this idea of Chalitza Psula. So what we're stuck with is Shmuel said previously that in the case of the 2 and 5, where three of them were married to three sisters, they died, and the three sisters now present themselves to the two surviving brothers. So what did Shmuel say? One could do chalitza to everybody. The Gemara now is struggling because the Gemara knows, I know that Shmuel says that a chalitza psula is no good. We just saw it together right over here. You could do chalitza to the co-wives, but you can't do the chalitza to the sisters. It's clear that Shmuel subscribes to this idea of chalitza psula. Okay, so, hecha, so the Gemara says, okay, so we have some explaining to do. Meaning, we're going back to Shmuel in the beginning of today's daf, and we're trying to understand why Shmuel says that one could do chalitza to everybody. How does that work? So, hecha dekaima chalitza de Shimon, chalitza ksheira, chalitza reuven, chalitza psula. So the Gemara says, yeah, because look, in other words, chalitza psula in of itself, according to Shmuel, is a deficient chalitza. Over here, we're talking about the chalitza that's done by Shimon, who of the surviving brothers, his chalitza would in fact be a good chalitza. So, my echad choleitz l'kula nami dekamar emtsayis. So the Gemara says, now when it says echad choleitz l'kula, it means the emtsayis, meaning the last one. Okay, meaning to say that if there are options of which one should be doing the chalitza, and I have a choice between one who could do a chalitza kshera and one who could do a chalitza psula. So under those circumstances, Shmuel says, look, if you have a choice, so then let the one who's doing the chalitza kshera do the chalitza. But if everything being equal, meaning if of the brothers now don't really matter, right? One is going to be a chalitza psula and the other one's going to be a chalitza psula. Under those circumstances, then Shmuel's going to relax and Shmuel's going to say, so then anyone could do it. And when it says echad, and we have to go back to the statement of Shmuel and try to understand the statement of Shmuel, he said the words echad chalitza kulan, that one's going to do chalitza to all of them, which is not true. Because what we just learned together is when the first brother dies, there are going to be three brothers who die. When the first brother dies now, so the chalitza done to her is going to be done by one brother. When the second one dies, so now who is going to be doing chalitza to her? You have a choice. You can either do the one who already did chalitza, or the other brother who hasn't done chalitza yet. So again, when there's a choice, and one is a better chalitza, so then we're gonna opt with the better chalitza. And then when you get to the third wife, now everything's equal. So one of the two is gonna be doing chalitza, and it doesn't matter which one. That's what Shmuel meant. Shmuel said, echad chalitza kulan, which certainly sounds like not what I just described. It sounds like one is gonna do chalitza to all of them. So the Gemara says, when he said that, nami dekamar aim sais. So va kulan kamar. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. He said, that one is going to do it to all of them. So the Gemara says, no, Kevin Deruba, Gabe Karile, Kulan. So the Gemara says, nah, one of them is doing Chalitza to two, Two out of three, that we could call that kulan. Difficult, by the way, difficult Gemara over here, because, in other words, Ruba Kakulo, the majority is like everybody. It's not true over here. Meaning one of the brothers is doing Chalitza to two of the three, but that's not everybody, meaning that's not the third. And the language of Shmuel's Kulan, and so, okay, it sounds like a little bit of a forced answer in terms of how to interpret Shmuel, but again, we need to interpret Shmuel somehow, because we know that Shmuel subscribes to the idea of Chalitza Psula, and once he subscribes to that, when Shmuel started our daf off by saying that one could do chalitza to all of them, what does that mean? So right now, we're giving a bit of a forced answer. We're saying that what Shmuel meant is two out of three. Okay.
Ibai said, give the chalitza the first one. It's a good chalitza.
Yeah, that's a chalitza malia. Correct. Correct. So the Gemara says, Ibai said, Miki kamar Shmuel chalitza malia be'inan hanimil mifta tsarasa. Ava mifta and avsha patra. So the Gemara says, or alternatively, you could say the following. Okay, in other words, yes, Shmuel's of the position that you need chalitza malia. And a chalitza psula is no good. The Gemara says, but that is in order to release a co-wife. But as far as she herself is concerned, even a chalitza psula would work. Meaning that right now, here's a second answer to how to resolve the stira between Shmuel and Shmuel. Shmuel said that one could do chalitza to, one of these surviving brothers could do chalitza to all three widows. Meaning that's the opening of today's daf. Then we learn together that in the case of two sisters, each one coming with a co-wife to the two surviving brothers, what did Shmuel teach us? Well, there, no good. In other words, you have to do a chalitza amalia. You can't do a chalitza psula. So right, chalas la'achayos lo niftur tsaros, which means that Shmuel does subscribe to chalitza psula. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is the following. Shmuel does allow for a chalitza psula, and that in of itself is going to release her. The chalitza psula, where's it deficient? Where's the deficiency of the chalitza psula? It will not have reverberations to other co-wives. So that means to say that when you do the chalitza psula to the sister, and it's a chalitza psula because you were in a position where you could not have done yibum, and now the chalitza you do to her now is going to be deficient chalitza, it will be enough to exempt her and excuse her and allow her now to marry off. But the co-wife still is locked in. She still has a zika. And you're going to have to do a chalitza to her as well. Okay. That's what Shmuel means when he says that the chalitza psula is deficient. But for the principal herself who received the chalitza, that chalitza is good. That's another way you can understand Shmuel. Okay. So we started off today already. It's a difficult piece of Gemara, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to balance where does Shmuel stand regarding chalitza psula? Mixed messages given to us by Shmuel, the opening of today's daf, the second statement on the top of the Amud Aleph, and the Gemara's attempt to be miyashev, what Shmuel means when he says that a chalitza psula is in fact deficient. Okay, gufa. From this point forward, we're gonna just try to cover one more topic for today's daf, and it'll take us the rest of this morning, and that is the three statements of Shmuel. So gufa amar Shmuel. So Shmuel says, number one, chalitza achayos lo niftur tsaros, letsaros niftur achayos. So statement number one of Shmuel, which already is a difficult statement, but we know it already, so it makes it a little bit better. We have a fighting chance. And that is that if you do chalitza to the sisters, so that will not excuse the co-wives, but if you do chalitza to the co-wives, that in fact will excuse the sisters. Okay. Again, can I illustrate? I at the risk of repeating myself, but today it's such a difficult daf that I'm fine. I'm fine repeating the case. So what happens is that you had four brothers, you had two sisters, two of the sisters were married to two of those brothers died. Those sisters now are falling yibum to the two surviving brothers. However, they're also coming in tow with co-wives as well, meaning that the two brothers who married the two sisters also were married to other wives as well. And so you have a complement of four women now falling to yibum, to two surviving brothers. Two of them being sisters to one another, and each one of the sisters has a co-wife. And just to make everything life a little bit simpler over here, so the two sisters are Leah and Rachel. Leah being the older of the two. Okay, good. And you'll see why I say that right now. Good. So under those circumstances, Shmuel said, "Look, can I do yibum to any of those four? No, 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 and no. Okay, you can't." Okay, in other words, each one of them represents Achuz Zukukaso. In addition to that, the co-wives are Tsaros Achos Zukukaso. So you cannot do Yibum to any one of them. Okay, so you're going to do Chalitza. Now, you're doing chalitza in a case where you can't do yibum. What do we call that? That's called the chalitza psula. Okay, wonderful. Now, under those circumstances, so what chalitzas can you do? A chalitza done to the sisters will not pot to the co-wives. A chalitza done to the co-wives will pot to the sisters. That's the statement of Shmuel. Okay. Already, that's a lot to digest. Okay, we're going to come back to that momentarily. Number two, second statement to Shmuel. Chalitz labala saget lo nifter atzara. Letzara nifter abala saget. Let's say you give one of the yavamas a get. Okay, this is going to be a big discussion later in the Masechta, but let's just at least, let me at least give a brief introduction right now. Okay, you have a yibum situation. Yavam yavama. Okay, so what does the Torah recognize? One of two things. Either yibum or chalitza. That's it. However, what is also recognized? What will also be recognized is you do what's called a mimer, which we discussed earlier, which we're going to discuss more in this Masechta. And what's also recognized, oddly enough, is a get. Now, from the Torah standpoint, a get over here is totally N.A. It's not applicable. Yet, what the get is demonstrating is not interested. Okay? And you're using the wrong vehicle in order to say not interested. As far as the vehicle of the Torah is concerned, how do you say not interested? Chalitza. Okay, but you gave her a get. So once you give her a get, so now that is legally accepted. Not to release her, because the only thing that releases her is a chalitza, but now it starts me on the path. What path? Not interested. Now, where does the path of not interested end up in? It ends up in chalitza. However, once you issued a get, can you now do yibum? The answer is rabbinically no. You can't do yibum. Okay, and I know this is complicated, meaning the Torah does not recognize again in such a situation. Yet the Chachamim said once you've shown already an interest in not marrying her, so right that you are now on the pathway to chalitza. But at the same time, however, you're no longer eligible to do yibum. What are we looking at over here? That's right, we're looking at a chalitza psula. So under those circumstances, so. Chalos abalas. I'm going to read the statement again. Number two, chalos abalas aget lo nifter atzara. So if you do chalitza to the balas aget, so it does not that does not release the co-wife. And again, if you think about it, yeah, that's right. Because what was the chalitza to the balas aget? That was the chalitza psula, as I just got done explaining. So now the chalitza psula, is it going to release the co-wife? No. But you do it to the co-wife. So then nifter abalas aget, because to the co-wife, so her chalitza was a better chalitza. Okay. Now, if you want to go deeper into this discussion, it's right. It's not a bottomless pit, but it's pretty deep. So if you want to go deeper into this discussion, to the tzara of the balas get, were you able to marry her? Presumably no as well. And we'll go back to a point that Rashi made. Yes, it's true that you can't marry the balas get. You can't marry the co-wife of the balas get. However, her iser is so to say, lighter. And as a result of that, the chalitza that's done to her is going to be a better chalitza. Enough not only so that it releases her, but it releases the balas aget as well. Okay, hopefully that was understood. Number three, chalos the balas hamaimer, lo nifter atzara. Okay, now let's say you do chalitza to the balas hamaimer. In case number three, again, what happened was is that you had multiple wives for the mitzvah of yibum, and you do maimer to one of those women. So again, as we've discussed already numerous times, Maimer is the rabbinic institution where, from the Torah standpoint, what does the Yavam do to the Yavama? You go from 0 to 60. Okay, that's, I just say that by way of analogy. Meaning, you're with her, and that's it. You're married. And there's no first stage. And the Chachamim introduced a first stage. It's called Maimer. Maimer is basically the identification that this is a woman that I want to do Yibam with. It is like Kedushin. You remember the Gemara that we did earlier in terms of Maimer, the lumdus behind Maimer, meaning it's a rabbinic institution. Are they shaping it in a Yibum context? Do they treat it like Kiddushin? Okay, the Gemara discussed that earlier. Anyway, for our purposes right now, it is Kiddushe Derabanan for Yibum. That's a nice, succinct way to describe it. So in such a circumstance now, where you did Maimer, and now, Chalos Labalas HaMaimer, you do Chalitza to the Balas HaMaimer, Lo nifter at Sarah, so that does not excuse at Sarah. Let Sarah nifter at Balas HaMaimer. However, if you do chalitza to the co-wife. So that will release the balas ha-maimer. Okay, that third statement is going to be explained, but not now. So we'll come back to that at a later point in time. Okay, the Gemara says as follows. Now we're going to go back and we're going to go over the three statements of Shmuel. We're going back to number one. Now, in number one, what do we learn together? That if you do chalitza to the sisters, that doesn't excuse the co-wives. If you do chalitza to the co-wives, that excuses the sisters. So, Maishan lachayis alo niftarut saras davile achos isha bezika. So the Gemara says, because consider, meaning we have to look at the relationship. Achos isha bezika, meaning, or what you and I call achos zikukaso, meaning each one of the sisters now represents a woman that you can't do yibum with. Because again, we're assuming that there's a zika. And that zika means that you are like quasi-married, and each one of the sisters now is quasi-married to you. You can't do yibum to either one of them, because each one of the sisters now is a chazukukaso. So the Gemara says, so now I understand that the chalitza is deficient. So chalitza tzaros nami lo lifter achas avilei tzaros achos isha bezika. So the Gemara says, so if that's true, so let's take a look at the co-wives. What are the co-wives? The co-wives are, and here's a mouthful, but again, if you're following clearly, it makes perfect sense. They are tzaros, achos isha, bezika. Meaning if the zika is a quasi-marriage, and now the sister is the sister of a woman who's quasi-married to you, so then she is like an erva. And now what is the co-wife of an erva? Okay, co-wife of an erva is usher. Okay, so again, if you follow, I know there's a lot to follow, but if you're following, so basically now the Gemara says, look, I'm understanding that when you do chalitza to the sister, one of the sisters, so it's a chalitza psula. Same thing should be true if you do chalitza to the co-wife of the sister. That should also be deficient chalitza. Why Shmuel making a distinction between the two? It's a strong question. Gemara is going to start attempt to answer the question. So the first answer of the Gemara, which is going to be difficult, is that Shmuel's of the position that he doesn't subscribe to Zika. Again, one of the main themes of our Masechta is the strength of a Zika and the nature of a Zika. Is Zika considered like marriage, or Zika not considered like marriage? So what the Gemara now is suggesting is that Shmuel does not subscribe to Zika. You now, there's an obvious question to ask over here. The Gemara is about to ask it.
Premise of
Chalitza Pesula,
the fact that there's Zika.
Okay, so hold the thought. So the Gemara says, first of all, we'll start off with a nice, easy question, a technical question, and it's not a technical question. Shmuel himself subscribes to Zika. We've already established that early in the Masechta. So the Divrei Omer ain't Zika, Kamar. The Gemara says, yeah, Shmuel made a statement for those who don't subscribe to Zika. I know that's strange. I know that's a little bit off, where Shmuel's making a statement based on a position that he himself doesn't subscribe to. Okay, but it happens. And the Gemara is now at least suggesting maybe that's what's happening over here. Admittedly, it's difficult, but the Gemara is suggesting. So, So the Gemara says, well, if you're right, that right now we're making the statement for those who do not subscribe to Zika, boy, oh boy, is that problematic. Why? Because if you do chalitza to the sisters, should that be impugned whatsoever? Should there be any deficiency to that chalitza? No. Meaning once you take Zika off the table, so these sisters are coming from two different men. So now these sisters over there are not considered the sister of a Zikuka, because we're right now currently holding Ein Zika. So Amaylo Niftaru Tsaros, Hachi Chalos Lachayos, Amaylo Niftaru, sorry. V'ha'amar Shmuel Yezikal Divram Ein Zika, Kamar. I Hachi Chalos Lachayos, Amaylo Niftaru Tsaros, Bishlama Tsaro Derachaloti Pater. So the Gemara says, look. Now, again, remember there are two sisters, and remember it's Leah and Rachel. And Leah being the older of the two. So, I understand the co-wife of Rachel is not going to be excused. Dikev de Chalos Leah, because what was the order? First he did Chalitza to Leah. And v'hadr chalas l'racha, havile chalitza d'racha, chalitza psula. Because even if I don't subscribe to Zika, even if I don't, but when he did chalitza to Leah, you know what that makes Rachel? Achos chalutzaso. And you don't need a Zika in order to create the isser of achos chalutzaso. Achos chalutzaso just simply means that the woman that you did chalitza with, her sister is going to be prohibited to you. Now, granted, that's it's a rabbinic prohibition, but that's not a predicate of Zika. That's just simply that because you did chalitza to a woman, it's ki'ilo you were married to her, i.e. you did chalitza with her, her sister's going to be prohibited to you. Albeit midrabbanim, but doesn't matter. So when he did chalitza to Leah, I certainly understand now that doing chalitza to Rachel is a chalitza psula. I get it. El etzara de Leah tipater. So the Gemara says, but when he did chalitza to Leah, and again, if I don't subscribe to Zika, so the chalitza to Leah is chalitza ma'alya. It's a good chalitza. So now what should happen to the co-wife of Leah? She should be off. No problem. So the Gemara says, my lo nifter, etzara's not to kamar, etzara's to Rachel. So the Gemara says, okay, so that's how we'll interpret Shmuel. When Shmuel says that the co-wife is going to be still stuck, it means the co-wife of Rachel. V'atzaros ka'amar? Yeah, but look at the statement. He said tzaros. So the Gemara says tzaros alma. So the Gemara says, yeah, but what he meant was tzaros alma. He meant just general tzaros. But in other words, but the tzara of Leah is in fact going to be released. Ihach ichalos the tzaros nifteru. Achayos. V'atzaros Rachel mimifteru. So the Gemara says, okay, now, let's go back to the statement of Shmuel. So we're really struggling right now. Meaning Shmuel made a statement that if I did chalitza to the sisters, it will not release the co-wives. And then he also said that if you did chalitza to the co-wives, well, that will release the sisters. Right? That was the statement. Now on the first half of the statement, we're right now saying that he doesn't subscribe to Zika. So on the first half of the statement, so here's what we're saying. Yeah, he doesn't subscribe to Zika. And yeah, the chalitza to one will not pat to the co-wife. What that means is the co-wife of number two. The co-wife of number one is fine. Because the chalitza done to number one, in this case, Leah, was a chalitza malia. And that'll pat to the co-wife. That's fine. What he meant was by the co-wife of number two, because what's the co-wife of number two? That's achos chalutzaso. Okay. Again, that's a lot. But that's where we're standing on the first half of Shmuel's statement. The Gemara says, okay, but now I'm turning my attention to the second half of statement number one of Shmuel. And let me back up a line. The Gemara says, Vaha atzaros kamarts, I'm sorry, Ihachi chalos atzaros nifter achayos, v'atzaros rachal mi miftera. So the Gemara says, now, let's consider the second half of the statement. If let's say you do a chalitza to the co-wife, meaning not to the sisters, but to the co-wife. So what does Shmuel say? Oh, that's a good chalitza. And that chalitza not only exempts the co-wife, but exempts also the sisters as well. So the Gemara says, but that's not true. V'hatanan, it's a Mishnah. We're going to see this Mishnah later on. Asar Adam, b'tzaros k'ravas chalitza, so that a man is forbidden to marry the co-wife of the k'ravas chalitza, so. Meaning, start with your chalitza. Now go to a sister of the chalitza. So the sister of the chalutza is going to be Aser. And not only is the sister of the chalutza going to be Aser, but the co-wife of the sister of the chalutza is going to be Aser as well. Okay. Now, why that is? Okay, we'll discuss that later in the Masechta. But right now, it's a Mishnah. It's a given that you're not allowed to marry the co-wife of the sister of your chalutza. Now, I know. I spent a lot, Baruch Hashem. Spent a lot of time preparing and thinking about this daf. So over here, in this case over here, again, I go to my Leah Rachel sisters, and now he did chalitza first to Leah. What does that make Rachel? Achos chalutzaso. What does that make the co-wife of Rachel? Saras. Achos chalutzaso. And what do we learn in the Mishnah later on, daf mem? You're not allowed to marry her. Oh, you're not allowed to marry her. So when you do chalitza to her, what is that called? It's called the chalitza psula. Oh, okay, fine. And so once again, we're just stuck. Meaning Shmuel saying, if I did chalitza to the tzara, that's such a good chalitza, it'll pat to the achayos. It's not true.
And Sarah operates outside of Zika.
And Sarah operates outside of Zika, right. Well, again, by the way, yes, but here because of chalitza, meaning chalitza operates outside of Zika. Meaning once you do chalitza to a woman, so without Zika, you and that woman now had a relationship. A strange relationship, but you had a relationship. So now her sister becomes also to you, and it extends, meaning beyond the sister, meaning even the co-wife of the sister is going to be also to you. Good. That's a given. So now that that's a given, so now you're trying to now do a chalitza to that woman? It's a chalitza psula. It's deficient. So the Gemara says, Shmuel Nami, Hizchav Elo Hizchav Kamar. So the Gemara says, once again, okay, So what I'm going to do is I'm going to revisit the statement of Shmuel, and I'm going to interpret the statement of Shmuel. And that is, Hischa b'achayis lo yigmar b'tzaros. If you start with the sisters, you can't end with the with the co-wives. Meaning, as we just described. Did not. Asar adam b'tzaros k'rov aschalus aso. However, Hischa b'tzaros. Ah. But if I start with a tzara, so if I start with a tzara, yigmar af b'achayos. So then what you should do is that you are allowed to finish with this sister. Meaning, if your first chalitza that you issued was not to the sister, but the first chalitza that was issued was to the co-wife, so now you can finish off with the sister. Why? Did none. Because we're going to go back to the Mishnah later on, mutter. Mutter ad mikrov at saros chalutzaso. So what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to marry the relative of the co-wife of your chalutza. Again, just to explain this, we'll start with the chalutza. Okay, you're a chalitza woman. Good. Now she has a co-wife. Okay, the co-wife of the chalutza, you're not allowed to marry. What about the relative of the co-wife? You are allowed to marry. Ah, okay. So now, you're allowed to marry the relative of the co-wife of your chalutza. So now, if we started not with Leah, but the co-wife of Leah, so now, the co-wife of Leah is now tsaras chalutzaso. And what does that make her sister? Achos, Saros, Chalutzaso. Again, I know it's hard, because I know there's a lot of moving parts, but I'm, Baruch Hashem, I'm saying it clearly. It's just now a question of following the trail. So now, you are allowed to marry her. Ah, since you're allowed to marry her, and then you're doing Chalitza to her, it's a Chalitza Ma'alya. It's a good Chalitza. Okay. Adkan. What we have just done is we explain Shmuel's statement, and it works, albeit with a lot of finesse, a lot of finesse. But we explain Shmuel's statement, but all subscribing to the view of Ein Zika. Rav Ashi Amar Lolam Kedekar Mishum Delo Alima Zika L'Shav L'Saras Ke'erva. So Rav Ashi says no. Let's go back. let's say it differently. Meaning again, what Shmuel's statement? I'm going to repeat Shmuel's statement. Again, it's what the Gemara is focusing on for most of today's daf. Shmuel's statement is that if I do chalitza to the sisters, it doesn't release the co-wives. If I do chalitza to the co-wives, it is in fact going to release the sisters. That's the statement of Shmuel. We're struggling. How does that work? What does that mean? In other words, if you subscribe to Zika, what difference does it make? Whether you do chalitza to the sisters or the co-wives, they're both going to be prohibited to you. The sisters are achot zukukaso. The co-wives are tsaros achot zukukaso. They're both going to be usher. So what we try to do in round one is we try to explain Shmuel by taking Zika out of the equation. Okay? And it works, but it requires a lot of finesse. What Rav Ashi is going to do is Rav Ashi is going to go back, explain Shmuel with Zika. And so now it's going to work and just doesn't need as much finesse. Rav Ashi Amar Lolam Kedekamer Mishum Dolo Alima Zika L'Shavit Sara Ke'erva. And what we're going to say is as follows. Look, there is Zika, Yesh Zika. But Zika obviously operates on some rabbinic level. And the Chachamim gave Zika a status of quasi-marriage, like we already discussed in the past. That part's true. If you subscribe to Yesh Zika, which right now we're saying we are subscribing to. But now, how does that translate regarding the co-wife of a zakuka? Meaning, the sisters themselves are achos zakukaso. The co-wives are saros achos zakukaso. Lo alima zika, this is Ravashi's statement. Zika is not going to be strong enough. L'shavi l'tzara ke'erva. The co-wives are not going to be given the full erva status. Zika is not that strong. Zika is strong enough where the co-wives themselves are going to be the sisters themselves for sure are going to be prohibited. But Zika is not going to be strong enough where we're also going to give the erva status to the tsaras as well. Now, I say it doesn't require as much finesse. I take it back. It is a finesse. Because now, what are we saying regarding the co-wives? They're not an erva. Are you allowed to marry the co-wives? Are you allowed to marry the co-wives? Right? Can you do yibum to the co-wives? I don't think so. Right? Why not? They're the co-wives of an erva.
It's less
puzzle. Okay. So like I said, I'm taking back. In other words, there is a finesse here as well. Tanya Kavasa de Ravashi, the Gemara quotes, the Gemara has a brace supporting Ravashi as well. Chalos la'achayos, la'niftaru tsaros. So the, if you do chalitza to the sisters, that's not going to exempt the co-wives. Halasaros nifter achayos. My time alam mishum dekatsaver yezika v'lo alima zika l'shev l'tzara keirva. Okay, and in interpreting the brisa, we said what we just got done saying, that as much as we are saying yezika, and as much as we're saying that the sisters are achuzukukaso, but the zika is not going to be strong enough to give erva status to the co-wives. And therefore, when you do chalitza to the co-wives, so then the chalitza is going to be considered a chalitza ma'alya.
So a less psula patras a more psula.
Right, correct. In other words, and again, right, the judges now who are grading and rating each one of these chalitzas, so if it's a better chalitza, so that'll exempt somebody who would have received a lesser chalitza. Okay, very difficult Gemaras. We're going to do a little bit more this morning. So the Gemara says, well, maybe over here, this entire position of Shmuel holds like Beit Shammai. So the Gemara says, what do we know regarding the co-wives? Co-wives are mutter. So the Gemara says, what? Meaning, the Gemara is going to get to a simple point, which in a moment we're going to get to. Meaning, Shmuel's position is going to be predicated on Shitas Beit Shammai, and when are Amoraim subscribing to Shitas Beit Shammai? It's difficult. Even before that, the Gemara says, "Ihachi yevum enam mitis yabim." So the Gemara says, and you know what? If we're really holding like Beit Shammai, what can you do to the co-wives? You can marry them,
yeah.
Right? So the Gemara says, "Karev Yochum enuri damer bov nitzakin lahem l'tzarshiu chotos v'lomis yabmos." So the Gemara says, yeah, but we're subscribing to Rav Yochanan ben Uri. Rav Yochanan ben Uri is of the position that let's go ahead and let's do a takana for the co-wives that we should do chalitza not yibum. If you recall, if you remember, we did this back on Tezvav on the entire lengthy discussion of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Did Beis Shammai actually rule there that way, or they were just arguing the Beis Medrash? Anyway, the conclusion of the Gemara is Beis Shammai actually ruled that way. And what Rav Yochanan ben Uri wanted to do, let's make shalom, because Zitzara from Beis Hillel's perspective and Erva. From Beis Shammai's perspective, muteres. And now, what a mess. And remember, we talked earlier in the Masechta how, even though it was a mess, but, lo nimnu. They didn't prevent from marrying one another. They communicated with each other. Anyway, Rav Yochanan ben Uri said, you know what? Let's institute chalitza. Everyone do chalitza. And if everyone does chalitza, so everyone's going to be happy. Now again, when I say everyone's going to be happy, I don't really mean that. Meaning, from Beis Shammai's perspective, you should be marrying her. And from Beis Hillel's perspective, you just did chalitza to a woman who didn't need chalitza. And now she's asur l'kahuna. But good. A compromise is where everyone's not happy. So let's compromise. So v'hamra amar lo hifziku l'gemar zadavra ashenitrafa ashaa. Now, what the Gemara is suggesting is that Shmuel over here, when he says that chalitza is going to be performed, meaning the compromise chalitza of Rav Yochanan ben Uri. That's what he meant. So the Gemara says, first of all, remember what we said earlier? He submitted the bill and filibuster. Right? So, the hour passed by. Okay. Again, I don't fully know and understand how these, you know, I'm saying this b'derech mashal. Because, you know, I'm American and, you know, I think American. But in other words, when the bill's passed and over there in the Beis Din, so this Rav Yochanan ben Uri legislation was submitted. And now, nitrafa hashaa. However it happened, just in other words, it didn't pass. Anyway, it didn't pass. So how can you tell me that Shmuel's going like this compromise Rav Yochanan ben Uri shita when meanwhile it didn't pass? So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, acharav chazur v'tiknu. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak suggests that, yeah, it didn't pass and then it passed. Okay. That's a significant epilogue, by the way, which we didn't hear about earlier in the Masechta. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak now is suggesting, just as in a way of explaining Shmuel, well, maybe it did pass, even though earlier we said it didn't. But maybe at a later point in time it did. Okay. Ibai Lahu. Okay, we're going to do just one more little bit of Gemara. Baal Seget, Baal Samaimer, Ezem, Em, Kodemus. So, Baal Seget, Baal Samaimer. You have your brother, two of his wives died. And it's one brother. And you do get to one and mimer to the other. I'm not sure if order matters over here. Maybe it does. But basically what you're trying to do is say, I want that one, I don't want that one. Okay, now, best way to do it, correct way to do it, do mimer to one, follow them by yibum to the same one. In your mind, whatever, you were not advised well, You did mimer to one and you did get to the other. So what did you just do? You just ruined it for yourself. Because once again, when you did the get, so what, as we said earlier this morning, and we're saying again, so now that's the beginning of the chalitza process. And since you're on the pathway to the beginning of the chalitza process, so that's it. Yibam no longer is an option. So now you're going to have to do chalitza. Which one is it preferable to do? So once again, we're looking to the judges to go ahead and to grade which is the better chalitza. Which chalitza is better so that it can pata the other. Okay? And again, in the context of today's daf, makes all the sense in the world. Outside of today's daf, it'd be really struggle. You'd really struggle to understand. But in today's daf, it makes all the sense. Ezamem kodem mas balas aged adifa mishum de ischel ba bechalitza odom abalas maimer adifa mishum de krov labia. So, do we say that the balas aged should be the preferable chalitza because you started the pathway of chalitza with her? On the other hand, balas maimer means that you were this close to having done yibam with her. Your relationship with her is even stronger. Maybe your chalitza with her would even be better. So unclear. Amar Rav Ashi Tashma. So there is get acha maimer maimer acha get. Okay, and again, this is going to take us to the gemaras that we're going to do later in the Masechta, in the fifth parak of the Masechta. So we're going to be spending a lot of time on what happens with the ramifications of you do get after maimer maimer after get, right? The nuns nun aleph nun beis. Anyway, so Rabbi Gamliel says that there's get acha maimer maimer acha get. E get adif lolahani maimer abasrei. V maimer adif lolahani get abasrei. Now, if either one of them is stronger than the other, so then one should overshadow the other. But Rami Gamliel says it doesn't. Meaning even if you do get to one, mimer afterwards is effective. If I do mimer first, get afterwards is going to be effective. What does that tell me? It tells me that they'd say it's a fair fight. Meaning they both are strong, equally strong. So shmamina. So the Gemara says so therefore we're left to say that one is not better than the other. And going back to our question of, if let's say there's a balas get and a balas maimer, which one should I do chalitza to? So right now it sounds like the Gemara is saying they're both even with one another. And if they're both even with one another and they're both psulos, it sounds like the Gemara's conclusion therefore is that you have to do chalitza to both of them because it's a chalitza psula or a chalitza grua. Right? Rashi over here actually uses the words chalitza grua. Okay, adkan. Okay, we're gonna pause and stop over here as I told you we would, and let's recap a very difficult daf in Yevamos. Okay, this is where Yevamos really earns its reputation as being a difficult masechta. But the basic idea behind today's daf is that if you're in a situation where you have to issue chalitza, but in a situation where you cannot marry her, and we discussed today a number of reasons why. She could be achos zekukaso, she could be tsaros achos zekukaso, she could be achos chalutzaso, she could be tsaros achos chalutzaso. I know I'm saying all this really quickly. Baruch Hashem. I put a good amount of time in today's daf. So so in any of those circumstances now where you're banned from doing yibam to her, but still there's a zika, and still you have to do chalitza, that chalitza is now going to be registered as a chalitza psula. And therefore what? So, in yesterday's daf we learned that according to Rav, once it's chalitza psula, everybody's got to be doing chalitza with her. All the candidates of chalitza have to do it because it is the chalitza psula. And by the way, tomorrow what we're going to be discussing, just if I can try to get you to come back tomorrow, is that do all the brothers have to do chalitza to all the candidates? We'll talk more about that tomorrow. But however, today's daf is dedicated to chalitza psula. So, and the first part of today's daf, we dealt with Shmuel, who said chalitza psula only needs to be done by one of the brothers, not all of them. The Gemara is bothered because it seems like that's not true. Okay, and we try to address that. And the big topic of today's daf was another statement by Shmuel, which is that in the event that the two sisters are coming to the two brothers, each sister with a co-wife in tow, so if I did chalitza to the sisters, that doesn't pater the co-wives. If I did chalitza to the co-wives, that paters the sisters. That was the big statement to Shmuel. Shmuel made two other statements, which I'm not even going to go over right now. Because we're gonna come back to them at a later point. But anyway, that statement. How did you understand that statement of Shmuel? If you subscribe to Zika, there should be no difference between the sisters and the co-wives. They're all equally forbidden, and therefore there should be no difference. How did you understand Shmuel? So round number one, we suggested that maybe Shmuel was operating according to the opinion of Ein Zika. Now that was a little bit difficult, but we finessed it. It could be it works out that way. Another way to suggest is that, no, really, he holds Yeshika, and it's just a question now of understanding the ramifications of Yeshika, vis-a-vis the sisters, vis-a-vis the co-wives of the sisters. Maybe the co-wives of the sister, the Yeshika position, will not invest the co-wives which, with as much erva status as the sisters themselves. Again, that's a lot to think about. And finally, the last way we understood Shmuel is that really Shmuel holds it like Beit Shammai, which again, I know is so strange, but as a third suggestion, maybe I was like Beit Shammai, maybe the Tzaros do not require Chalitza at all. But he says they do? Yeah, the Chalitza of the compromise of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Maybe that Chalitza is what he meant. And then finally, the Gemara just ended off with trying to balance and weigh, if I have different chalitza psulas, i.e. a woman who received again, a woman who received maimer, which is the better chalitza psula to pata the other one, the Gemara ended off on a stalemate.